to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Configuring WebSphere Adapter for File Transfer Protocol Using Secure Socket Layer Protocol. Today's presenter is Alex Reeds. Alex joined the adapter team in 2008. In this capacity, he is responsible for resolving issues related to WebSphere Adapter for File Transfer Protocol. Alex also has system administration expertise in AIX, Unix, Linux, and Windows environments. At this point in time, I would like to pass the presentation over to Alex.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for attending this session. If we move to slide number 2, you will see the agenda for this session. What I'd like to cover in this agenda is a little bit about my background and the benefits that I expect to bring to you as a user of the FTP adapter. I will also cover the WebSphere adapter for FTP as an overview when you look at it, the inbound processes. Then I will cover the difference between the FTP and the FTPS protocols, one being the FTP, file transfer protocol, and the other one being the file transfer protocol using SSL. Because of the presentation requires some external setup, I will also be covering the FTP server setup. This will consist of enabling the FTPS server, generating the certificate, and then generating the trust store. After this, I will be covering the scenario of how I am configuring the FTP using SSL. I will also cover the PI creation. This includes the project setup and also how to confirm the results. We will then move into debugging, summary, resources, and lastly, we will have questions and answers. If we move to slide number 3, please. A little bit about myself. I have a background, as Joseph briefly mentioned in the introduction, about enterprise storage server and AIX system administration, along with Linux and Windows. Exposure to automated provisioning and deprovisioning systems, and currently I'm the SME for WebSphere adapters for FTP, Flatfile, PeopleSoft, and JTEX. What I expect to bring to you as a benefit is that you become familiar with the FTP adapter using SSL, that you are familiar with the FTP protocol and the difference between FTPS and FTP. I would also like to make you familiar of how to set up the FTP server itself to use the FTPS protocol. And lastly, how to accomplish PI creation and confirm its results. Before moving to the next PI, I would like to clarify that this presentation is based on a simple inbound case scenario. I don't intend to cover every single feature that the FTP adapter can do. This presentation is mainly about showing how to use the FTPS protocol with the FTP adapter and is constrained to an inbound operation. Moving to slide number 4. When we look at the FTP adapter as an overview, we can see that the FTP adapter has several functions. The adapter creates processes to manage files without knowing the protocol details. In other words, you don't need to know the commands that the FTP server uses in order to use the FTP adapter. There are operations that are created by the FTP adapter that cover that for you. As a broker, you have WPS and WSPI, and as an external resource, you have the FTP server. The adapter itself acts as a service provider in a SOA architecture. You can send and retrieve data, and the adapter itself is part of the module on the brokers mentioned above, which are WPS and WSPI. Moving on to slide number 5. and continuing with the FTP adapter functions. The adapter creates many interfaces to hide the details of how the operations are obtained, to interact with the adapter, you as a user interacting with the adapter instead of the FTP server via the PI, to manage the user IDs and password, and to manage the different operations that the FTP adapter can create. The adapter is also based on implementing reusable unit designs, and it has two processes that are inbound and outbound, and as of course it uses standard business interfaces. Moving on to slide number 6, please. This is the final slide for the overview. And regarding the components that the adapter has, it has imports and exports. It has a project, the PI. And you can also produce the unit of deployment or EAR file. The processing types, as I mentioned before, are the outbound and inbound. For this presentation, we will be covering the inbound process. Below, you have a little diagram of how the adapter works. In the bigger box, you have the broker itself. Inside the broker, you have the applications. Within the application, there are different modules that use the adapter for FTP. And externally, you have the FTP server and the target files. If we move to slide number 7, please. Let's talk a little bit about the FTP adapter inbound processing. In this type of processing, the adapter pulls on a file system associated with the FTP server. The pulling is done at a specific intervals. Each time a file is created in this event directory, the adapter tracks this file, and then it converts it to a business object. If we look at the diagram below, we can see that externally we have the files, in other words, the event directory, that come through the FTP server and get into the adapter via the export in the module or application itself. Of course, the brokers are WPS and WESPI. Let's move on to slide number 8, please. Regarding the operations that the FTP adapter is able to do on inbound, we have a default operation that is called emit FTP file. This operation serves as the endpoint where the adapter can send BOs after the events are being triggered by the enterprise information server. You can have an external application that can further process these BOs, and for that, you are able to modify the emit FTP file method. So you can customize any requirements for any specific business needs that you may have. Again, this is the default operation for the inbound processing. Let's move on to slide number 9, please. Now we're going to discuss the difference between the FTP protocol versus the FTPS protocol or file transfer protocol over SSL / TSL. Looking at the original protocol, the FTP protocol, when this protocol was created, it was not intended to be a secure protocol. It was mainly just about transferring files. As we have evolved with applications and uses for the FTP protocol, security has become a concern. Among the issues that you have or known attacks that you have with the FTP protocol are about 6 or 7 of them. The most important of them are some called bounce attacks, where the port command can be used to access other ports. You also have a spoofing, where you basically masquerade yourself, you know, using someone else's identity or use someone else's identity. Probably the most known one is brute force, where you actually check all the possible keys. You know, you continue sending all the combinations until you break the server. Moving on slide number 10, and continuing with the known attacks, you also have sniffing, where you actually capture a particular package and try to dissect it to get the information to get into the FTP server. There is another known attack called port stealing, where you actually pay attention to what the FTP server is doing, and based on the operation that the FTP server is doing, you guess the next port that can be used and exploit. Lastly, we have username protection. Pretty much an FTP protocol is kind of plain text, so you can usually extract the user ID and password if those are not encrypted. Let's move on to slide number 11. When we get here, we are getting into the FTPS protocol, or file transfer protocol over SSL, TSL. One of the first things that they did to implement this protocol is to add certificates. The certificates contain private keys and also contain owner information. So basically, you are creating a unique certificate that is difficult to crack. You also have different levels of encryption. When we do the FTP server setup, I will be going over these certificates and how to create them and the encryption types. The FTPS protocol also have two modes. One of them is the explicit mode, and that is the one that we will be using for this presentation. When you use this mode, the FTPS client explicitly requests from the FTP server security, and then through a handshake, they agree on a mutually encryption method. If the client does not request security, the server, the FTPS server in this case, can either allow the client to continue, you know, using the connection unsecurely, or refuse, limit the connection. When we get to the FTP server setup, we'll cover some of these modes in more detail. Moving on to slide number 12. Here we can see the other type of mode that is called implicit. In this particular mode, an FTPS client immediately challenges the FTP server via a client hello message. If the message is not received by the FTP server, the suggested way to react to it is to basically drop the connection because it's not being authenticated. So here you directly are challenging the FTP server with the client hello messages. Moving on to slide number 13, please. Okay, since we have covered the overview of the FTP adapter and the difference between FTPS and FTP, I'd like to cover the FTP server setup, in this case being the Ficilla server. You can download this server, and I have placed a link at the end of the presentation so you can have a reference if you want to download it. After you download the server, you set it up, you have to create the home directory and all the other stuff. Once that is set up, if you want to use the FTPS protocol, you have to set it up for that protocol. If you go to the settings, on the left pane, as you move down on that left pane, you will have the different settings, and one of them is SSL/TLS settings. And then once you get that setting, you will get the stuff that is on the right side of that screenshot. Please note that private key and certificate file will not be filled in. Pretty much anything below enable FTP over SSTLS support will be gray out. Everything will be enabled after you click on that checkbox. Once you click on that checkbox, the first task is to create a certificate. Before creating the certificate, I'd like to make you aware that port 21 will be used as default, and also the mode that you're going to be using is explicit, so you need to check that box, and you also need to check force prot P to encrypt the messages in SSL TLS mode. At this point, you may be wondering, why do I need to encrypt if the protocol itself is supposed to encrypt, you know, the messages? Well, actually, the SSL protocol encrypts the commands, but it doesn't encrypt the data. So if you want to encrypt the data, you need to force prot P in this case. So you need to check it, so everything will be encrypted once you check that box. If we move to the next slide, this is slide number 14. Once you click on that generate certificate button, you are taken to this screenshot. This is the form that you need to fill to create the certificate. On top of the form, you have the key size. If you want performance, it is recommended that you use the 1024-bit encryption. If you don't care too much about performance and you are concerned mostly about security, then you should use the larger encryption of 4096-bit. Moving down on the fields, the first field that you have is the two-digit country code. It is listed as a digit, but actually it's a text, and for the United States, it's U.S., and there are different digits for every country or different strings. Then you keep providing the different fields at the bottom. The last field is the one that you need to pay attention, because that's where you're going to be saving this certificate. Once you have filled in all this form, you click the Generate Certificate. And if we can go back, Joseph, to the previous slide, slide number 13, briefly. Once you generate certificate, then you can see that the private key in the certificate file field will be filled in with the appropriate information. We can go to slide number 15 now. On this slide, you are generating the trustor. Before generating the trustor via the key tool, the Java key tool utility, you must be aware how your FTPS server is creating your certificate. Some servers will add extra information to the certificate file. It is up to your system administrator or yourself to find out if you need to modify this file. For the file seal server, you actually need to modify this file. And what you have to do is to basically have the information that refers to the certificate itself. You must also pay attention that there are no blank spaces or extra lines on that certificate file. Once you have modified that file, then you can use the key tool utility to generate that certificate. And on the key tool utility, you know, you can see the command that is being given, and I can send you that command if you need more details. But basically, you are telling what are you calling the certificate, the location of the certificate, and the location of the trustor. After you have issued that command, some information is printed back that basically relate to the data that you place into the certificate and the fingerprint. Then you are prompted if you want to trust this certificate, and you can enter Y to trust this certificate. Once you do that, that is all that you need to do to create a certificate. For the FTP adapter to work with FTPS protocol, all it needs is a reference to the trustor. If we move on to slide number 16, on this slide, I'm going over what I'm attempting to present in this session. The overview is to configure the FTP adapter for inbound processing using the FTPS protocol explicitly. I will not be modifying the incoming file. It's basically a pass-through scenario. The scenario itself is to listen for any events triggered at the event directory and process those events. In order to accomplish this, I need to configure the FTP server, which I did, you know, already, and you were aware of some of the items that need to be done before embarking in the PI creation. Need to create the module. I need to add an external service. I need to select the broker that I will be using. If we continue in slide number 17, I also need to select the processing type. In this case, it's going to be inbound. In this area, I need to configure the service properties, user ID password, the protocol, the function selector, the operations, data binding, data handling. Once I have the assembly diagram, I need to wire it to a Java component. Finally, I need to deploy this module and then test the module. If we move on to the specific details on slide number 18, here you get the create module screenshot after you do file new module. I'm only specifying the module name, and I will take the defaults. Moving on to slide number 19. Once I have selected the module, I'll need to add an external service to this module. And in this case, I am adding the FTP adapter. And as it refers to the wizard, I will be using the advanced configuration. Let's move on to slide number 20, please. On slide number 20, I need to select the adapter. In this case, I have the version of the adapter that needs to be selected. This is the FTP adapter with its version. Let's move to slide number 21, please. After selecting the adapter, you need to import the RAR file, and also you need to select the broker that you will be using. In this case, I'm using the WebSphere process server. Moving on to slide number 22. On slide number 22, I have to select my processing type. In this case, I am selecting inbound. And that is all you do on this slide. Moving on to slide number 23. In this part, you get the different connection properties configurations. The first one of them being the connection properties, my remote server. In this case, it's the same as my local host. My remote directory is listed as event. My local directory is listed as, it's as listed on my drive C, and you can see the whole description in there. The protocol, you need to select it from the drop-down menu, and you select FTP over SSL. The port number that is given to you is port number 21. A couple of items regarding this screenshot. One of them regards the remote directory and the local directory. Please note that for the remote directory, whatever you input in there has to be Unix-like. And if you're using Windows on the local directory, it's okay to have the Windows-like reference. But it's very important that you note that distinction, that anything that refers to your FTP server has to be in Unix-like context. Let's move on to slide number 24, please. Continuing with the connection properties, we go to the section where we specify the archiving. The local archive directory is also on my local machine. The extension that I want for that archive directory is listed. The success failure file extension are also listed. The remote directory is listed as archive. Again, this is referring to the FTP server, so it has to be in a Unix-like context. The file extension that you want to use for the remote server is also listed. Moving on to slide number 25. This is pretty much the part where you specify the FTPS settings. The first thing that you need to select from the drop-down menu is the mode, and in this case, we are using the explicit mode. Then you can take the default fields private and JKS. Then you have to enter the TrustStore location in the TrustStore field. If you know the extension, you can copy it there or you can browse it. You have to provide the password for the TrustStore. Then you get into the key store file, and you also have to you have the option of browsing or just entering it. And if you have provided a password for the key store, you provide that password here. If you notice, the only required field is the TrustStore file, but since you're going to be doing this, you might as well add the password for the other fields. Moving on to slide number 26. This is pretty much how to authenticate with the external server, and the only thing that we are providing here is we are going directly via user ID and password, and we're filling in the user ID and password for those fields. Let's move on to slide number 27. As the wizard progresses, there are other fields that you need to enter, and on this one I'm just going to be outlining the important ones, but in between the screenshots, there are certain fields that I have taken as default, and the reason I've taken as default is because I am not doing anything specific with the file that I have. It's just basically a pass-through, and I'm processing everything. But the first thing that I need to do is to select function selector, and I have specified the file name function selector on this screenshot, and if I move on the wizard, I get to the next screen, which is on slide number 28. Here I have to define the type of rules that I want for that function selector, and in this case, I want to process everything, and for that, all I need to do is provide the rule .*, and that basically tells to process everything. Moving on to slide number 29. Again, there are some default screenshots in between the ones that I'm presented, but the next one of importance is the I/O properties. And basically, in this case, I am taking the generic FTP business object plus its business graph. As I move on through the wizard on slide number 30, I get to the operation details. As we cover on the presentation, the default operation is the emit FTP file. Once I have selected the parameters for the emit FTP file, I get taken to this window on the wizard that pretty much confirms the settings for my operation. At this point, I have configured the function selector, the data handler, and the data binding. And this window kind of gives me that confirmation of, as it refers to the operation itself, in this case, emit FTP file. If we move on to slide number 31, here we see that we have finished the wizard, and we are presented with the project itself, in this case, the assembly diagram. There are items here that are not created after UPI creation. Basically, is the Java component that you see on the right pane. What you have to do is to create a Java component, and you have to wire that Java component. And the reason that we are using that Java component is because we want to confirm, or we want to place a confirmation message on the traces. So after you have wired this Java component, you proceed to its implementation. In the next slide, which is slide number 32, I have listed the code that refers to that implementation. Basically, all I'm doing I'm using the method emit FTP file, and I'm placing a printout statement that will be printed on the broker traces, on the broker logs, as the operation is performed. Joseph, if we can go back briefly to slide number 31. On this slide, you know, I have created a complete project. It's a minimalistic project, but it's complete. So the next thing that I have to do is I have to export this file. I have a choice to either test it on my local environment, my local broker, or I can export the EAR file. In my case, I have used the local environment and also using the local broker to test it. And if we move on to slide number 33, here is a screenshot of the verification. They're a static screenshot, so you don't get to see what actually happens. But basically, what I have is a file, just a simple text file in my event directory that I place in there after I have added the module or the EAR file to the broker. The broker starts polling for files in my event directory. Once the broker finds a file in my event directory, it proceeds to process the file. And as you can see on the screenshot on the bottom right, it has processed that file successfully into the archive directory. A timestamp is given and an extension is given. If we move on to slide number 34, in this slide, I'd like to go over a little bit about the potential issues that you may encounter while using the FTPS protocol with the FTP adapter. There are other generic issues that I didn't get into it. Basically, you may not have the server or the directory specified correctly, but since we are dealing with the FTPS protocol itself, I kind of created a couple of items that will give you, you know, a little idea how the exceptions are thrown. The first one is I omitted the trust store. When I look at the traces that are, you know, sent by the broker, I see the J2CA0138E message. Basically, it's referring to an activation failure, an endpoint activation failure. As I continue going through the exception details, at the very bottom, I see that the cause is because there was an error while initializing the trust store. So if your trust store is missing, you will get this error message, and the cause will be listed as listed on this slide. The other item that I thought, you know, it could fail is if you specify the trust store, but you don't specify the password. You get the same J2CA0138E message that basically also refers or is the generic catch-all message when you have an activation spec issue. And if you look on the exception itself, as you keep going down on the whatever is being thrown by the broker, when you get to the bottom, you can see that the cause is because the password verification failed. So this will be directly related to the FTPS protocol. You can also get into other issues related, you know, if you have a firewall in between your adapter and your FTP server, but those are external to the protocol itself. These two are pretty much related directly to the FTPS protocol. If we move to slide number 35, please. This is my summary slide. I hope, you know, you learned how to become familiar with the FTP adapter functionality. you became familiar with the FTP versus FTPS protocol. You also became familiar of how to set up the FTP server when you are using SSL TLS, how to create a PI, and how to test this PI. If we move to slide number 36, these are my presentation-specific links. I have a link to our information center for the adapters that is listed there, and I have also have a link for the FTP server that I use for this presentation. In this case, it's the FileZilla server, and on that server, I enable the FTPS protocol. From that link, you can go to the FAQs of how to set up the FTPS protocol, but I cover the major points for that setup. At this point, I'd like to turn on the presentation to Joseph.
Thank you, Alex, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
And we have no questions.
Okay, I'd just like to add something from my side. This is Alex Reyes. If you come up with any questions later on, please send me an email. You can see my information at the on the slide number one. And if you are interested in an actual demo that I can show it to you how this works instead of the screenshot, I can do that for you. Just contact me at that email address. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Alex. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.